It's an exciting time at the Institute for Creation Research. We're spreading the news about new evidence our scientists have discovered that supports a young age for the Earth. How did they dig up this information? We'll tell you about it next.
They're exciting evidence that there's been a lot of radioactive decay very rapidly during the flood.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. The evidence unearthed by seven PhD creation scientists over an eight-year period should really rock the evolutionary boat of the idea of an old Earth. Creation scientists found that rocks previously dated at billions of years only appear to be ancient because of a process called accelerated nuclear decay. This simply means that decay rates in the rocks were much faster in the past than they are now. Join us for the next 15 minutes for part 3 of Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. Today, we'll discuss two more research findings of the RATE team. Plus, we'll talk about radioisotopes and learn more about the accelerated nuclear decay of these atoms. Dr. Larry Vardaman is manager of the RATE project.
A radioisotope is an element that is unstable, and it tends to decay. When you have a large number of them in a chunk or in a rock, that a certain percentage of these atoms are going to decay. They're called radioisotopes because they were actually measured by a Geiger counter, which produced a radio click, or it made a sound in the instrument, sounded like static on the radio. So it was called a radioisotope because it was decaying, making this noise. The isotope part is an element that has the same chemical properties, therefore it has the same number of protons, but it can have different number of neutrons. So you can have different isotopes, and they're radioactive or unstable and decay, so radioisotope.
One such radioisotope is uranium, which decays into different elements and damages crystals within rock units. But why does uranium exist in certain rocks, and what happens once it starts to decay? RATE team member Dr. Andrew Snelling explains.
Uranium is present out there in nature. It's out there in God's world, but it gets concentrated in certain minerals. And when it gets concentrated in those minerals, it's then able to do things when it decays. And the reason it decays is because its atomic structure is such, it's such a heavy atom that its nucleus has got too many particles in it. And the forces that hold everything together can't hold it together indefinitely. So what happens is, to relieve the stress of trying to hold itself together, every now and again, one of those atoms breaks apart. It either does it by totally splitting almost in half to make smaller atoms which are more stable, or it shoots off some of the nuclear particles to make itself a bit more stable. And those nuclear particles that it spits off form what we call the alpha particles. It's because the atom is so large that the forces at work trying to hold it together can't cope that it decays and splits.
One part of the RATE team's research was to study the effects uranium decay has on granite rocks. This investigation yielded remarkable scientific evidence for a young Earth. Dr. Snelling did research on damaged crystals within granites which had microscopic discolored rings. These rings are called radio halos.
Radio halos are the damage caused by radioactivity in rocks. Some crystals have radioactive elements like uranium in them, and the radioactivity is shooting out of those crystals into the surrounding rock, minerals in the rock, like little bullets, and they cause damage to the crystal and cause them to be discolored. And you can see these discolored patterns under the microscope, and we call them radio halos, which is short for radioactive halos, halos produced by radioactivity. You actually see rings because it's where the little bullets stop, the little particles that are shot out, the radioactivity stops, causes the most damage. And so it darkens the crystal with rings. And you can actually, from the ring pattern, work out what elements were responsible for causing the damage.
According to traditional radioisotope dating methods, many granites in which these uranium halos are found have very old dates of hundreds of millions of years. Dr. Snelling says these rocks are not ancient, but only have the appearance of age due to accelerated nuclear decay.
Because of the measured decay rate of uranium today, at today's rates of radioactive decay, you need so many bullets that it's virtually the equivalent of 100 million years worth of radioactive decay at current rates presently measured rates to form those halos, which means that in the past, there's been a lot of radioactive decay in rocks. And because I believe that these rocks were formed during the flood, that means there was a lot of radioactive decay, hundreds of millions of years worth of radioactive decay at today's rates in these rocks during the flood year, which means that the decay rate had to be accelerated.
Evolutionists will argue against accelerated nuclear decay and use the dates on these granites as evidence for an old Earth. But besides uranium radio halos, there's even more evidence for a young Earth found within these crystals.
Alongside these uranium radio halos are radio halos that are produced by the element polonium, which comes in three forms. And these three forms have a very brief existence, whereas uranium is around for a long time. This polonium is only around for, some of it's only for fractions of a second. And it means that these halos had to form very rapidly. And the only way that they can form in the same rock is that the polonium comes from the source of uranium in the same rock, because the polonium is a product of uranium radioactive decaying.
Since polonium is produced by uranium decay, and since polonium halos form so quickly, this means that the uranium in the granite had to decay rapidly.
You have to have a source for the polonium, and the uranium halos were forming at the same time as the polonium radar in the same minerals, in the same grains in the rock. Therefore, the 100 million years or more worth of uranium decay had to happen rapidly, otherwise you wouldn't have these polonium radio halos. And also, it indicates that the granites had to form rapidly. So these polonium radio halos are very critical, and they're exciting evidence that there's been a lot of radioactive decay very rapidly during the flood, when granites were forming very rapidly during the flood. And the polonium halos being alongside of the uranium radio halos is very firm evidence of that.
More amazing evidence that the Earth is young is found in volcanic rocks, where radioactive uranium atoms are splitting and causing damage in crystals within these volcanic units. The marks left by these splitting atoms are called fission tracks. Dr. Snelling.
People are familiar with an atomic bomb. When the uranium atom splits, it causes ultimately a huge explosion. Well, on the small scale, uranium atoms still split of their own accord. And when they do, they split into almost two equal parts and they fly apart. And these two little fragments fly apart in opposite directions like little bullets. And as they fly apart, of course, as bullets, they damage the crystal in the rock in which they're sitting. And so it's like firing a gun through a plaster wall. You leave it a hole, a damage trail. And so a fission track is the damage caused by the fission or splitting of the atom, the uranium atom. With the two fragments flying apart in opposite directions, they leave a straight trail, a very tiny trail, that what a geologist does is polishes the rock surface to see the mineral, puts a little bit of acid that eats into rock into the mineral, and it enlarges these tracks sufficiently so they can be seen under the microscope. And you can actually see the remnants of the splitting apart of the uranium atom, and they're called fission tracks.
The Ray team investigated fission tracks in the Colorado Plateau region, which includes places such as Grand Canyon in Arizona and parts of Utah, because they wanted to see if the amount of radioactive decay matched the evolutionary dates of millions of years for the volcanic rocks.
We're not believing that there were those millions of years, but we want to see whether the physical evidence of fission tracks, the amount, matched the radioisotope dating. And what we found is the evidence did match, particularly in the Morrison Formation, the 150 million year old volcanic rocks in the Morrison Formation, and also higher up in the sequence around Kingman, Arizona, there's a volcanic rock unit that you actually drive through on the I-40, the interstate, that you can see in the road cuts. That had the equivalent, the fission tracks equivalent to the radioisotope age of those rocks as well, according to the radioisotope dating.
It seems like the rocks dating to 150 million years and the amount of nuclear decay agreeing with that date would give evolutionists a good argument for an old Earth. But Dr. Snelling says this isn't the case. He credits the millions of years age matchup to accelerated nuclear decay and says fission tracks play a role in this evidence.
In the case of the volcanic rock units at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, we actually found that there were far less fission tracks than there should be. In fact, the fission track age didn't match the age based on the fossils. And the evidence indicates, because we did some cross-checking with other analyses, that the heat generated by the accelerated nuclear decay was responsible for reducing, wiping out some of the evidence, some of the physical evidence. Because what happens, if you heat a rock, the fission tracks, the damage caused will actually heal, because all the atoms inside the crystal that have been pushed aside by the little bullets going through actually get enough energy to move back into the right position, and the fission track disappears. And so the only way we could have less fission tracks in those rocks than there should be is if there's been some localized heating right there in the crystals, and the only heat source would be from accelerated nuclear decay.
Thus far in our RATE series of broadcasts, we've discussed helium diffusion from crystals inside of granite rock, uranium and polonium radio halos in granites, and fission tracks in volcanic units. Dr. Snelling says all of these examples point to a faster rate of nuclear decay in the past, and has the RATE team of scientists ecstatic that so many lines of evidence point to the same conclusion.
When you're doing scientific research, if you find one piece of evidence that verifies and confirms what you thought, you get excited. If you get two pieces of independent evidence that agree with what you were proposing was an explanation, you'd get very excited. When you get three, you get exceedingly excited. When you get four, you get super excited. And this is the point. In the RATE research, different researchers have done independent lines of investigation, and they've all come back with the same answer. The evidence can best be explained by accelerated nuclear decay. Hundreds of millions of years worth of nuclear decay in a matter of weeks and months.
And this all fits hand in glove with the biblical account of the Genesis flood.
The rock units in the Grand Canyon that we're talking about with respect to the fission track work are rocks that were deposited during the flood. Many of the granites that we looked at in the radio halos research are granites that formed during the flood, that intrude strata that were deposited during the flood. The helium diffusion work was done on a rock unit that's possibly older than the flood, maybe pre-flood, but again, the accelerated nuclear decay would have occurred during the flood to give us the results that we have, that we measure today. So four independent lines of evidence all confirm the same conclusion, that there has been accelerated nuclear decay, orders of magnitude acceleration above the rates that we observe today.
Tune in next week for part four of Radioisotopes in the Age of the Earth as we continue to investigate evidence of a young planet. Also, don't miss our exciting RATE conference held in San Diego, California on Saturday, November 5th. For more information on this and RATE education materials, go to www.icr.org. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.